Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The magic word is dystopia, an imaginary place. It's from the original Greek, an imaginary place where people lead dehumanized and often fearful lives, which is what Robert Trzynski's writing for. He is the editor of the Trzynski Letter, senior writer at The Federalist, and had a piece up just a couple of days ago which caught my eye, so I thought we'd go for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are, according to his headline, we live in the dystopia young adult fiction warns us about. Well, first of all, good morning, Robert. Thank you for giving us your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So there's the meaning of dystopia, and I would say that there are things that are going on, as you write about, that in fact fit. And, you know, the odd thing is, in a way, it's sort of self-inflicted.
Yeah, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way, that you have this whole genre of young adult fiction, and it's become something of a cliche to have the dystopian novel for young adults. And it's the idea of supposedly warning these young people about the potentially oppressive system that could be coming if certain trends go in a certain direction. And the thing is that they never seem to warn against the things that are actually leading to oppression in real life.
Well, I think if you go back, for example, The Hunger Games, there's one, A Handmaid's Tale, which was actually written about 20-something years ago.
Yeah,
and I do remember reading
it. That was aimed for an older audience, but has gotten a lot of attention. But there's Divergent, there's The Giver was a movie that came out recently. It's an somewhat older one, but young adult audience. The Maze Runner, there's all these crazy variations on it, yeah.
I mean, I've seen these things. I mean, even when I was growing up and even when younger days, I do remember Logan's Run. I remember Blade Runner, which the second edition is just dying in the theaters. But, I mean, the fact was there seems to have always been this kind of view of the future not necessarily being bright.
Well, yeah, and I think there's you go back to 1984.
There you are.
Which was a pretty straightforward projection of the present, circa 1948. Orwell had seen the Nazis and the fascists and the communists battling it out and was inspired by that to say, what happens if both sides won? But the thing is that difference between Orwell is Orwell was looking at real phenomena in the world, real oppressive movements,
right,
looking at communism and fascism and projecting them into the future. These young adult dystopias tend to take sort of their own sort of weird imaginary threats, and a lot of them are written from a left-leaning perspective, warning against the future dystopia coming if those evil, nasty conservatives take over.
Well, yeah, and the fact of the matter is, seriously, if you read, for example, Animal Farm, which was written by Orwell, it expressed his disappointment with Stalin what was going on in Russia, Soviet Union at that time. In a sense, that came from the left. I mean, it totally came. You know, I wonder if the real...
It came from the left, but warning about the threats to liberty also from the left. So he came from a more of a liberal or pro-liberty version of the left, where they thought, well, we can have socialism but not have it be totalitarian, and was warning against the totalitarianism.
Robert, let's run through some of your points that you make. Mob enforcing vague, arbitrary offenses. What did I do wrong? Doesn't matter. You're guilty. And that kind of is followed up by, we're going to give you a trial, there's going to be a hanging, but we don't need to present any evidence. We'll just get you.
Right, and both of those things can be found, particularly on college campuses today, they can be found on Twitter and in online media, where you have somebody who, commits some vague offense against political correctness or against cultural appropriation or insensitivity in some way, and you have people piling on in these mobs on social media or in college campuses. You know, there's a case of this professor at Yale a couple years ago. His wife wrote something saying, hey, can everybody just chill out about Halloween costumes and not be so intolerant about, cultural appropriation and all that. And they go attack this guy because of something his wife wrote. They go attack this guy and surround him in a mob on the campus and start screaming and yelling at him. And it has that same sort of creepy dystopian kind of feel to it.
And then, of course, you know, just in case you go a little too far and we don't want to do it, we'll bring in some black and masked and black-clad gangs, you know, like Antifa.
Right, right. And, you know, the thing is, the irony is in wanting to fight back against these neo-Nazis who showed up in Charlottesville, my hometown, and a couple other places. They say, oh, we're going to totally fight the fascists by sending out these guys all dressed in black with masks on their face who are going to beat people up. I'm like, how is this different from the fascists?
From the brown shirts, you know, Ernst Röhm's crew.
Yeah. And the thing is, there's historical precedent. Orwell would have been able to tell you about that because, you know, in the 1930s in Germany, there was a group of people who wanted to punch Nazis. They, you actually had the communists and the fascists battling it out in the streets.
Yeah.
And it didn't end well. It didn't provide a pro liberty. It didn't provide a better alternative to the Nazis. It just provided a carbon copy of the Nazis.
And Robert, I think point eight that you make, a long period of dependency and infantilization, and that explains safe spaces. Kind of explains some of the other things that went before. In other words, I don't want to be exposed to anything that doesn't make me happy.
Right, and there's also a larger trend of these kids, and it's been noticed by people who study the different generations. That kids are going out and doing adult things at a later and later age, even as teenagers. You know, the idea of getting a job, getting a car,
right?
You know, going out and being independent of your parents. They seem to be fine to have the parents helicoptering over them for a very long period of time.
And it's strangely, you get off a college campus and in real life, and in fact, there are a lot of people who of that age who are growing up and doing what they're supposed to be doing. Anyway, Robert, it's great. You can go to thefederalist.com. That's federalist.com. Read all of his stuff. The Trzynski letter is also available. Hey, I want to thank you for being on, Robert. It's been a pleasure, as always.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, my friend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.